Yo, 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 this is Cam.
This is Greg, and you're listening to
The City of Savages Podcast,
where we talk about getting after your dreams after work.
What are you doing from 5 to 9? Let's go.
Let's get it.
So when people interact with me, I already know that I have connections that could help them. So if you don't give me the best service possible, you lose that opportunity. That's that opportunity cost.
Hey, so what's up, Greg? What you got going on? How your week been, man?
Yo, what's going on, Cam, man? It's been good, man. Been pretty busy, you know, but busy is good, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just been, you know, handling work, handling home life. You know how it goes, man, but can't complain, you know. Everybody's healthy, so too blessed to be stressed, man. Even with all the you know, coronavirus cases that's going up, man. It seems like they're putting everybody back on lockdown again this week, this week that we're recording. So, you know, that's, you know, it's been kind of a Debbie Downer, definitely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just waking up each day thankful, you know what I'm saying? If you can wake up, man, it's another opportunity to be great. So that's definitely just where my mindset has been. So I can't complain, man. How you been?
Man, I've been good, dog. You know, what, about a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I was sick. I was feeling a little under the weather. But I did get the COVID test, and I was negative, so I'm good there. Okay. But so, you know, just a little cold, but I got over that, and this week has been great, man. But, you know, the crazy thing you write about these coronavirus cases, they just going up. And it actually got so bad in my daughter's school, they canceled school for the rest of this year.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, so they had just started going back 5 days a week in her grade level. And yeah, I think they only been in school like 2 weeks during the 5 days, and then already canceled it because they had, like, I guess a rash of positive cases.
Right.
I don't think anybody, luckily, in her class had any positive cases. At least I didn't get notified if they did.
Right.
But yeah, I gotta go get her tested. She's been fine. You know, she hadn't been sick or anything, but, you know, might need to go get her tested just in case. So
right. You know, shout out to, you know, your daughter, and that, you know, she's doing well. You know, and, you know, pray for a good test once you have her tested.
Because
yeah, no problem. Because I mean, the same thing happened to my son as well. They might have been in school for, you know, 2 weeks. The same 2 or 3 weeks. And now, you know, they pretty much are all remote, until mid-January at least. It could be longer, but, you know, we'll see. And I feel bad for him because my child is he's a social butterfly kind of, you know. He thrives on being around other children, and, you know, that helps him with his focus. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these kids, you know, we can't imagine what unprecedented times like this are doing. Imagine what it's like for us, you know, to try to stay focused as adults. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we're talking about kids too. So, but yeah, so he's remote, but he's doing pretty well as well. So, I'm glad to hear you're doing better, man. And let's get it, man.
Yeah, man, definitely. But yeah, it's all good. We might get a stimulus check out of it. So,
hey, send that on this way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, facts. Let me get that $1,200 again. No, man, but hey, word on the street is that your girl Dani Leigh is a pick me now. So what you think about that?
Hey, so shout out, first of all, shout out to Dani Leigh, man. I rock with her music. Her song Easy, I think the remix, consider the remix with Chris Brown, you know what I'm saying? I rock with that pretty heavy, so I just, you know, I ride with some of her music. But to your question, so they're calling Dani Leigh a pick me because of her new relationship, or, you know, her Baywatch with rapper artist DaBaby. Shout out to DaBaby too, man. You know what I'm saying? I rock with his music as well. But basically the whole situation is, apparently he was, you know, and this is all speculation, right? But apparently he was with or he's been with his baby moms for pretty much the majority of the year, until recently. You know, he's been all on IG flaunting his new relationship with Danny Lay. So, but the kicker to it is that Danny Lay has been around for, you know, this entire time that he's been with his baby moms. So she's kind of, so the situation looks as though she was just been, you know, on the side, kind of waiting around for her opportunity, to be with him. And, you know, people kind of getting on her, like, you know, you've been waiting on this man this whole time when he's, you know, been with his baby moms and stuff like that. So, and my current thoughts about it is, we don't know what these folks are going through. I mean, we can only go off of what, you know, Instagram or, you know, Twitter or what have you, what the next social media is showing. And with social media, you only see what people want you to see. And especially with, you know, celebrities, right? The media, places like, I mean, I'm just going to take The Shade Room, for example, because that's where a majority of this stuff we see, or Baller Alert or something like that. One of these, you know, particular pages is going to promote, you know, their, you know, speculation, or it's, you know, it's going to put the tea out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get people talking, you know what I'm saying? Gossip is entertaining. Yeah. People want to be entertained, right? You know what I mean? So that's basically what's going on. So, but back to my point, social media, people are only going to put out there what they want you to see. We don't know what type of relationship these folks have going on behind closed doors. We may know what it looks like, but we don't know. And in the same sense, I mean, people out here are doing the same thing, regular lives, not celebrities. So, you know, who are we out here to judge anyway? This whole term pick me, bro, I don't really rock with it. I don't like it. I don't like it because it sends a note that, you know, you can't do your own thing or you can't have an opinion. Now, I think I know where it came from, because if you are, I think being called a pick me out there, you know, is basically like, for women that are speaking or, you know, trying to make themselves look good in order to essentially be picked by, you know, to be in a relationship, right? So they're saying, you know, going against the grain, really, or going against the majority of women when they say, you know, we don't need no man, or, you know, this type of situation.
Man, where do I even start? Yeah. I don't know what people come up with this stuff at. They just make this stuff up, right? But you know, I think it's kind of ridiculous for a few reasons. So for one, the fact that you calling, you know, this girl pick me, you know, particularly in Danny Lay's case, you know, because that's who we're talking about right now. But in general, like, who's to say when you say that, it gives the connotation that, or the idea that that the baby is the prize, right? Whereas who's to say that the baby ain't been all on her trying to get with her for the last year? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Who's really the prize?
I hate
the term for that reason alone, for that reason in particular, but for several other reasons too. But it just, it kind of demeans the female in a way, because it's trying to say that she's it's lowering her worth and bringing up the worth of the guy.
Right.
And that's, it don't make no sense. It's stupid. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in this case, obviously, I guess you can look at it and say, well, you know, the baby is the bigger star. But truthfully, and Danny Lay probably been, you know, she kind of been around too. So, you know, they both been kind of underground, and then the baby, just his trajectory is much more steep.
Right.
And that's really where it comes in at. So, you know, I think they both on their grind, they both doing their thing.
Exactly.
You know, the baby just rising much quicker.
Right.
From a career standpoint, but that don't make him
any better
or the prize, right, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So I hate the term and the fact that it kind of demeans the female. And then the fact that nobody was saying that about her 2 months ago.
Exactly. You
know? So why is it she's a pick me all of a sudden?
Right.
You know, so people just kind of pick and choose. They grasp these ideas off of one situation, off of one thing that they see,
right,
because they saw something on the blogs, and then they want to come and create this whole idea around it to demean somebody or bring them down. Exactly. And I just think that it's stupid. So I think that the whole idea of the pick me is just some shit that's made up that don't really have any basis. And I don't know, it's just like everything on social media and Instagram and all these sites, it's just misused and overused.
Yes, you know? Yes. I amen. Yes. Misuse it over you. That's the perfect way to explain it. Because as you said, I mean, automatically, you know, she could, she could have a hit record out right now. I'm not sure if she does or what have you, but, you know, automatically you'll sign this woman as a pick me just based on her personal relationship. And right. it affects her money. I don't care if you, I feel like in a way, you know, automatically that puts a negative connotation onto her. So, yeah. You know, that's a good point, man. And, I mean, just as you said, misused and overused, it can really just cause, you know, kind of it can be a crippling type of thing, for some of these people out there. And to your point, they're mm-hmm. both successful. They're both entertainers. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think the pick me term puts it as she's like a groupie.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It literally puts a groupie type of paint that type of picture for her, or that type of perception is out there for her. So, but
and that's the crazy part is like how you trying to create this image of her like she's some DaBaby groupie when she been on her shit, she been grinding, you know, and she had millions of followers before her and DaBaby ever worked together or had any kind of relationship at all. You know what I'm saying? Right. So. It's just kind of wild, man. But you know, that's the world we live in. People like to hop in the tea, or like our parents would say, you know, people want to get in the Kool-Aid and don't even know the flavor.
Don't even talk about the flavor because it's red.
I know, right?
We grew up, it wasn't no flavors. It was colors.
Exactly. So they don't even know, man. But
yeah, that's good though.
Yeah, man. But off that, let's move on to the next section, the next segment, rather. Man, Savage of the Week, bro. Savage of the Week.
Oh, so, you know, that's my favorite segment, man.
Oh, yeah. So Savage of the Week is when we acknowledge somebody that's doing something amazing out here in the world. We give them a shout out and just give them their kudos on the great things that they're doing. So for this week, I actually put a post on the page yesterday, I believe it was, about this gentleman's company and how much is projected to escalate over the next 5 years, which is crazy. But gotta give Savage of the Week to Elon Musk. He's a legend, obviously. We all know that.
Right, right.
He's a savage in every right, in every way. And one of his companies, SpaceX, they actually had a spaceship launched this week of a self-guided space shuttle, which is crazy dope. So the launch was successful. There was a mishap. I don't know. I guess you want to call it. Guess you could call it a mishap mm-hmm. at the end where the engines did explode. The shuttle exploded on landing, but everything prior to the landing was basically perfect. And man, it's crazy dope just to see that. Like, imagine, you know, we've seen people go up into space. But imagine, you know, this guy done created self-driving cars, about to have a self-driving spaceship. Right, right. This is wild, yeah. Yo.
Big time. Yeah, man. Just as you said, Elon Musk is a legend. That's something that we all know. But to your point, Cam, the space launch didn't end on I guess what we would consider the best note, because you know, it kind of crashed upon landing. But Elon Musk did actually tweet once it was over, and he was like, "Mars, here we come." And then SpaceX website actually reiterated what had happened, and they basically tweeted that the spaceship still successfully ascended, transitioned propellant, and performed its landing flip maneuver. Congratulations to his entire spaceship and SpaceX teams on today's test, the company said. So it was a success. Long story short, man, mm-hmm. it was a success. And Elon Musk even said himself, they gathered all the data that they needed. You know, they sent they sent it up and it came back down with everything that they needed to. And it was successful. I mean, when you put a project out there, an experiment out there like that, and you can at least gather the data, you can consider that a success. So I can't imagine, you know, the money, and not even just the money, but the research that is going to go into, you know, future space missions and, you know, different things of that sort. So, I mean, based on his reaction after it was all done, he was elated. He was excited. Mm-hmm. Just, you could tell it was just a win for the whole team. So, you know, shout out to SpaceX, shout out to Elon Musk, man. Cause it was, you know, definitely, as Cam said, you know, that's why we gave him, you know, Savage Moment of the Week. So
facts, man. And yeah. And you know, a lot of people may look at it as not a totally a success or as a failure because it exploded, the ship exploded at landing. But like you said, everything else went perfect. So they got everything that they needed out of it. And look, nobody was in it, so nobody died. So everything is gravy at the end of the day. So, you know, hey, it kind of has a success over here. He said it was a success. So as long as, you know, the person who created it, who had the goals, they know what they needed to hit. They got it. They got everything that they needed out of it. Hey, I call that a success, man.
Facts.
Yeah, man. So, man, that's Savage of the Week. But now we go over to, man, my favorite part of this podcast here is when we get to interview a savage, and we get to interview somebody that's out here killing it, man, and just doing their thing, really following their passion outside of their 9-to-5. So our guest today, the person that we're interviewing is Jeffrey Witherspoon. Jeff is a member of Kappa Alpha Psi, so one of our frat brothers, Yo-Yo. And he's a military officer, and he has a fitness company, an online fitness company called Eager to Motivate, or E2M Fitness. So y'all can look that up. We're going to give his info out. We'll put that in the show notes as well. But Eager to Motivate Fitness, he has over 13,000 clients right now, just absolutely killing it, crushing it. If you go to his page, you can see all of the before and afters. I personally know people who've gone through his program and got crazy, crazy results. It's an 8-week program. And I mean, you see people in just 8 weeks dropping 30, 40 pounds and just complete transformation in just 8 weeks. So he's a mentor to me and Greg. And, you know, it was a no brainer, you know, OG for us, man. We wanted him to be an OG on the podcast. So it was a no-brainer for him to be one of our first guests and just get Jeff on a podcast and interview him, man. So, you know, Greg, what'd you think about this interview?
Man, I'm still kind of taking everything in. I honestly, just to reiterate what Cam said, he's always been a mentor for both of us growing up. So, man, whenever Jeff is around, I'm always like a sponge. Cause he's always dropping gems.
Facts.
There's so much that you can learn from this guy. And then from this interview, I want our listeners to know, if you are into just moving into a direction of entrepreneurship, if you're moving into a direction of being motivated, if you're moving in a direction of just being inspired, this is the one you want to listen to. Of course, you want to listen to all of them. Don't get me wrong. Tune in. It's the City of Savages, but because we got some shit for your ass. But literally, I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this interview, because I'm inspired by what I heard. There's plenty of gems, there's plenty of takeaways, and I'm not gonna talk too much about it. I just want you to hear it.
Absolutely, 100%. You'll definitely enjoy this one. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Jeff Witherspoon. Welcome back to the City of Savages podcast. I'm your host, Cam, as always, joined by my co-host, Greg. And today we got our special guest, Jeff Witherspoon. Jeff, welcome to the podcast. What's up with you?
What's going on, fellas? Very happy and thankful to be here.
Appreciate it, man. Greg, what's up with you?
Ain't too much, man. Jeff, thank you for joining, man. We are looking forward to getting to know some more about you and some more about everything you got going on. So appreciate you for having us and being on with us today.
Of course, of course, of course.
Yeah, man, definitely. So Spoon, let's go ahead. We're going to get right into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Give us the background, the backstory. You know, how'd you get to where you are now?
Yeah, sounds good, guys. So my name is Jeff, and I'm a certified personal trainer. I run a personal training business, and my business is a little bit unorthodox compared to most trainers because I'm 100% completely online. So I brought the personal training experience to an online experience. I have 13,000 current clients. I have a staff of 4 other trainers, and I've been doing this for about 3 years with my staff and about 5 years in total. Now, I've been into fitness for a long time before that, but I just got into specifically fitness training over the last 5 years. And so, again, I have a large client base. I love my clients. I love what I do. I have a strong passion for what I do. And I think that's been my major key to my success is I love, love, love training. I love seeing my clients transform and seeing their bodies go from one point to the next. So in a nutshell, I transform bodies. I'm a body transformation expert.
That's what's up. So I know you started by basically training yourself, right?
Yeah, that's how I started. I started out, you know, getting into health and fitness just as a means to battle some things I had developed through combat. I'm a veteran. So I've been deployed multiple times. And what I noticed about a lot of veterans is that if we didn't find a healthy way or healthy means to get out some of our combat anxieties and some of the things that we've seen in war and combat experienced or done, they would lead to negative coping mechanisms. So I looked at health and fitness as my positive coping mechanism. So I started out just going to the gym, just to kind of decompress myself. And then a few of my friends got into competing and I was like, well, that's another way for me to push my body to the next level. But I'm always interested in health and fitness. So I decided to train myself. So I really got into studying the art of bodybuilding and nutrition and dieting and things of that nature. And that's what kind of spurred my passion because as I transformed my own body, my friends would ask for workout programs and workout tips, et cetera. And I didn't want to give out advice or give out workout tips without knowing that I was certified and trained to give that advice. A lot of times people will give advice online because they look good, they have a nice body or they're attractive. So they feel like they can give advice. But I didn't want to give advice unless I was trained and properly educated to give that advice.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely understand that for sure. And even when I was working out a lot, I used to get a lot of questions about, you know, people asking for tips and things like that. So I definitely understand. I felt the same way you felt. I'm like, you know, I'm not a personal trainer. Like I know it works for me, but everybody's body is a little bit different.
Right.
And, right. You know, what works for me might not be the same thing that works for you. Right.
Yeah. And I tell you what stands out for me, specifically, Spoon, is, when you talk about, being a veteran and, you know, doing something that, you know, that makes you feel good and just helps you kind of break away, you know, mentally and just kind of get some things off. And then you over time develop a passion for that. You know what I mean? So that's in, you know, going to show in your work and as far as your clientele as well. So that's a good look, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of which, I actually have to ask you, where did the name E2M Fitness come from? What inspired that the name of your program?
Yeah, so I'll break that story down pretty easily for you. So when I got into personal training, I decided that I wanted to go into business for myself. I wanted to have my own training business. I started looking for names for my fitness company. You know, I wanted to start my brand off the right way.
Right.
I wanted to brand off with a name that was only specific to me, that nobody else had. And believe it or not, you probably won't be surprised by this. Every single name under the book you can think of with fitness, personal training, exercise, get fit, get buff, whatever, anything related to fitness, that name has already been taken because there is literally hundreds of thousands of people that are personal trainers in this world, and those right. have already been sucked up. So I had to find a name that was unique to me. And luckily I thought about what my passion really was. And so I looked for things that tied into my passion. I am eager to motivate people because that is what people need the most. If right. I just give a program and I write it out, I can write out the best. I can have Arnold Schwarzenegger write out a program for you. But if you're not motivated to do the things that's in that program, it's only a piece of paper.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. So when it comes to being a personal trainer, I feel like my job is to motivate my clients to actually eat the meals I tell them to eat, do the workouts I want them to do, and to stay disciplined throughout the course of them training with me. So that eagerness, because I'm literally eager to motivate them. I wake up every day wanting to get after them. When I wake up in the morning, I say my prayers with my Bible, and I get right into looking for my client to see where they're at and what they're doing in their day. Because I'm eager to motivate them because I've seen the benefits of somebody being motivated. So I looked up, searched to make sure that there was no other company, no other brand that was eager to motivate. And that's where the name came from.
I love it, man. Yeah, I think, again, that speaks to, as we touched on earlier, you know, the passion, you know what I mean? If you're eager, that means that your passion is into it. And you want to see the best from your clients, man. So good deal.
Yeah. And I'll kind of jump on that one too, guys, before we get into the question series. Like, I mentor a lot of young entrepreneurs, a lot of young hustlers, and that eagerness and that motivation is one of those things that people may think they have that, but when you're really eager and you're really motivated to do whatever your goals are, whatever your dreams are, if you really want to be mega successful, if you want to be really, really wildly successful, you got to grind. It's some hard work that goes into accomplishing your goals. And you can't be distracted by little small things. You can't waste opportunities. You can't take for granted who you talk to, because you could be talking to somebody that may not appear to be, but could be somebody that could be the catalyst for the next step in your journey towards your goal. So that person you may have an opportunity to engage with, I see this a lot. People engage with people that they would have had an opportunity to be excel a step or two ahead, but they didn't take that responsibility seriously.
Right, right.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I agree with you. And it's a different level when you're truly for the people that are very successful in their entrepreneurial pursuits. They have a different level of motivation, a different level of eagerness in what they're doing. And that's the difference between the people who are, you know, mediocre at whatever they're pursuing versus the people who are like a head and shoulders above everybody else. There's a difference in their motivation and their eagerness. So, you know, I like that a lot. I think you're definitely on the right track with there, what you're saying. Now, Spoon, I know, if I remember correctly, I think we talked in the past, you told me you used to own a gym, correct?
Yeah, so back in the days when, like I said, I've been in fitness for a long time. And initially I started out with a martial arts gym. So it was a kind of a boxing mixed martial arts gym with a buddy of mine in my hometown. And that gym is still thriving and doing really well today, but my partner actually bought me out. Because of my schedule and what I do, I really wanted to focus on more of an online model. And he actually trains people physically in his location every day.
Gotcha. What was it about the online model? What drew you to that, to go that route instead of personally training people in person?
I think what I was intrigued by was just the amount of influence that a lot of these online fitness influencers have that have no background. Mm. And most of them are, I'm no way, shape, or form a hater, but a lot of them have been trained by other people, and you're seeing the results of somebody else's training in their body.
Mm, that's a good point.
We'll follow them and buy programs for them, but they weren't the ones that really they did the work, of course, but the mastermind behind right. making the program that made that Instagram model look the way he or she looks was somebody else.
Right. Right.
I was like, if this Instagram person with no background, no studying, no drive to learn everything there could be to learn about diet and exercise can get 10,000, 100,000 people buying their programs, what if I was able to get that same type of reach and influence and I know my stuff? So I am the behind the scenes that makes the plan, that makes the model. So if that person that's the end result can get all these people to buy their programs, why not me? Because I feel like I could influence more people with the online model than I could with an in-person model. For example, if I was to train each of my clients at a time, I could maximum, I could probably, in a, if I burn myself out, handle 12, maybe 15 clients. If I just work crazy all day long, two clients at a time, 15 clients max, I have 13,000 clients. There's no way that I could, I have to clone myself thousands of times to be able to get that many people. And so I just saw the ability to multiply my efforts with online versus in person. And to be honest with you, you know, if I do anything in person now, it's group training. I started out as a fitness trainer. So I still have a love and passion for group training, but just the ability to influence mass amounts of people has drawn me away from individual one-on-one training.
Okay. Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely get the online influence there. And, you know, what drew you to that? And especially now, your emphasis on being the subject matter expert and the fact that you are, you know, the source, you know, that you know, everyone can come to. How specifically for those that are listening, how does your program work and start? And how can people reach out to you if they want to go ahead and start their fitness journey and lifestyle, being that you are a certified personal trainer and you are an, you know, online fitness coach?
Yeah. So so with my program, you know, there's a whole plethora of programs out there. But my program, my trademark program, by the way, I make sure I get all my stuff legally patented. But program is weeks, right? So I do 8-week chunks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done all the science behind the psychological aspect of how long somebody can stick with the program. Them having to have a destination to really stay focused and motivated to get towards something. So basically when my program is laid out, I do 8 weeks of training at a time. That 8 weeks is set out to where I give you specific workouts, specific meal plans, specific goals to reach in an 8-week period. I have 5 different trainers that all bring different things to the program. So I have one lady that does Zumba. I have one person that teaches yoga. I have 3 other people that do HIIT training that have different emphasis. So my emphasis is on upper body. I have one lady that her emphasis is on lower body with the booty work and all the stuff that ladies are into. And I have one other lady that's into abs and all those other core exercises. So basically the way the program works is 8 weeks of a tailored program that is meal plans, workouts, everything you need and everything you could want that you could do right in the comfort of your home. But if you wanted to go above and beyond and do weightlifting, weight training in the gym, I also give you customized weight training workouts as well. But not just that. The biggest part of health and fitness is the diet. If I give you all the workouts in the world, I give you live workouts, I give you gym workouts, if you can't keep that diet piece straight, then none of that works out for anything because you can't outwork a bad diet.
Right.
So
right.
I step above and beyond. I have 3, and sometimes 4, like seasoned chefs on my staff that teach you how to cook and how to meal prep the healthy foods that I give you and tell you to eat in a way to make you feel like you're in a 5-star restaurant because you're getting trained to cook those meals by 5-star chefs.
Okay.
So you wrap all of and what I'm giving you is a program that's supplement free, literally tailored to get you rapid results. And after you do my program for 8 weeks, all training from then on becomes completely free. No gimmicks, no subscription fees. You pay me 8 weeks and you can stay with me for as long as you want. I've had clients that have stayed with me for 2 years. And once they reach one fitness goal, they have 5 personal trainers to then set a new goal. And the way my program works is my clients love my program so much that they then go on and tell their friends, which is how I'm able to keep business model going without having to continuously charge my clients. Now, One thing I pride myself on is I have more results, more visual pictures before and afters that are my clients. Mm-hmm. I don't steal nobody's stuff. My clients, anybody else on the market, you name it, I've got more before and afters. So my personal Instagram is Mr. Queen City. And that whole Mr. Queen City thing came because Charlotte is the Queen City and that's where I reside. So Mr. Queen City is my Instagram handle. And that's where you can see a lot of my before and afters. My business page is E2M Fitness on Instagram. And you can see even more info on there. And lastly, my Facebook page is E2M Personal Trainer. So on all those social media platforms, you get to see all shapes, sizes, ages, age ranges, levels of fitness. I train them all. And so that's the benefit of me being not just a representative of fitness, but I'm a subject matter expert on fitness and diet.
Man, right. I love it, man. The way, you know, he broke that down for all of y'all out there listening, man. So supplement free and tailored specific, you know what I'm saying? Circumstantial based on your specific needs and customized for you. Yeah, man. Appreciate that, man. Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, no, that takes me to my next question, actually. But before I say that, I wanted to really, I think it's dope that you got chefs that show your clients how to cook, because one of the issues that I have when it comes to like dieting and meal prepping is I have a limited ability of chefery, so to speak, right? So there's only a few things that I can really cook that taste well on a healthy side that I can eat repetitiously, right? And there's only so many different ways you can cook chicken before you tire the chicken. So that's pretty dope that you got chefs. And I think that's an extra added value that you bring to the table that I'm sure that most of these Instagram fitness people aren't doing in their programs. So that's dope.
To hop on that before we change subjects. Yeah. I mean, I don't want anybody to miss how important of a piece that is, because I could show you how to do a bench press 5 different weights with different types of equipment. I can show you how to do handstand push-up, whatever you want. I can show you any type of gym workout, any kind of HIIT training, any type of cardio. But if you don't stick to your diet, you won't get the results you came to me for. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of programs, you'll get the hype. You'll get the person that looks good, that looks fit, that you want to look like, but you won't get there because you don't see how hard it is to stick to a diet. Right. Now, won't tell you is that a lot of them, if it's about making money, that's that extra motivator to stick to the diet. So what I've done as well, I do competitions in my program. For each 8 weeks, the person with the best transformation, male and female, each of them can win $10,000. Okay. So that's the best male and the best female transformation over that 8-week period from start to finish. The best male and the best female, regardless of age, weight, size, whatever, your transformation will be judged by a team of trainers outside of my program to make it fair and unbiased. The best transformation, each male and female, win $10,000. Mm. So that same motivation, those trainers you see on Instagram, those Instagram models, they look all good. They're getting paid for that. They're getting paid for the ads. They're getting paid for sponsorship. The same drive and dedication they have to stick to their diet, I want to give that to my clients too. Okay. So you have another drive, stuck and focused on your meals, because there's a chance that you can win $10,000.
Okay.
To make it easier for them, I make sure the food is flavorful. Mm. I give them a wide variety of recipes. I give them a wide variety of items they can put in their meal plan to make the meal piece not as hard as if I told you exactly what to eat.
Okay. So two follow-on questions to that. One, you mentioned that the program is tailored. How are you finding out the criteria to tailor it for a person? Are there questionnaires? How do you do that? And then how do you keep people accountable week after week for what they need to be doing to hit their goals?
Yeah. So the accountability piece is really, really, really the biggest piece to anything, right? And I won't hate, like I said, I'm definitely non-hater. But people will spend several thousands of dollars for a piece of workout equipment. There's some popular stuff out there right now. So they'll spend several thousands of dollars for the new piece of workout equipment because they've got good commercials, mm-hmm. they've got good slogans, they've got good ads. But those pieces of equipment are only pieces of equipment.
Right.
If you're motivated to stay accountable, to use those pieces of equipment, they're just paperweights. They're only going to sit there and collect dust, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
What I have put together is an accountability group of over 13,000 people that I encourage them to interact and stay accountable to every day. And over time, you start to build friendships and relationships with people that are in your area, folks that are in the group, people that you have things in common with. Mm. And you then have accountability partners that are pushing and motivating you to stick with your diet and stick with your workouts. I even have small groups within my accountability group of people that have the same profession, people that live in the same area, you name it. So I actually have over 50 medical doctors that are in my group. A lot of the doctors are friends and they talk to each other. So they keep each other motivated. I have some former NFL guys in my group. So I have all types of people that have things in common that they find other commonalities within the group to stay on a common glide path towards their goals.
Okay. Dope, dope. Now, that I know you're talking about your Facebook community here. I actually looked at your Facebook page, your business Facebook page, and I see you got like over 20,000, 25,000 likes and followers on that page. So how did you grow that community so big? Was that all organic just through word of mouth? Are you advertising? How'd you get that community to grow like that on social media?
Yeah, like I said, that all kind of goes back to my business model. So and especially for guys like you, like your program that you're doing right now, your podcast. Mm-hmm. I try to give the viewer, the customer, whatever person that's giving me money, I try to give them their absolute best. So I work my butt off to make sure that every single one of my clients gets the best experience possible. Mm. If I don't see them posting in the group so when I started off, I only had like maybe a handful of clients, like five clients. I made sure that those clients got exactly what they came to me for. I checked on them every day. I motivated them. I called them. I pushed them. I pushed them. And all of them got results. So I was like, okay, this is my proof of principle. If I continue to give people this level of effort, this level of drive, they will get the results that they wanted. And by them getting the levels of results that they wanted, their friends would see that. So I had people walking around town and their friends would see them and say, wow, I saw you 2 months ago and you were 40 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. What the hell you been doing?
Right, right, yeah.
This program with this guy named Jeff. And so then that person is like, okay, I'm intrigued, but is this a scam? Mm-hmm. So then they look back and they wait to see who else does it. So then I have 5-10 more people do it. And all of those people get the same type of results. Mm-hmm. So that person that was on the fence 2 months ago is now like, okay, I have enough to believe. I've seen 2 or 3 of my friends do it.
Yeah.
They all love it. I'm going to try it. And so the biggest thing for me is no matter how big I've grown, I still have the same level of passion and concern for each and every single individual client. Mm. So if somebody is struggling, I give them an avenue to where they can reach out to the what I call the team box. That's my trainer's page where all of my trainers have the access to engage with our clients. So if you send a message to my team box, one of the 5 trainers will see that message and answer you. So okay. If you're struggling, question about anything, all of my trainers have that access on their phones. And once that message pings in their box, it's all 5 of us rushing to see which one can answer or chime in with more feedback on whatever that person's issue may be.
Okay.
That's good, man. The team box. So it's almost you're able to kind of disperse the work and, you know, the attention to each client, you know what I mean? Because you have questions coming in at any time. That was actually, I was going to touch on that with my next question because, you know, you don't have 5 clients anymore. You know what I mean? Started out with 5, but you know, it grew exponentially. And again, that's just a tribute to your hard work, to your effort that you put into, into this. And I mean, you can obviously see it. I mean, 20,000 plus and continuing to grow. Over and over again. But what we were going to ask is, basically, how are you able to balance being so successful, you know, even starting out, and then with your home life too? Because I know it can be taxing, especially, you know, as hard as you work. So yeah. You know, where do you find the time able to balance that?
Yeah. So honestly, like I was kind of saying before, so the person I look up to the most, that, hey man, one day when this podcast is big and it's on everybody's radar, he may see this. So Puff Daddy, person I emulate, man.
Okay.
And I look at his life and how he's emulated his life, how he's built his life to where he's at now, and just that work ethic. I see myself as being in the phase of life when I have to grind hard so I can shine later.
Right.
So literally will work my butt off. I just finished my MBA last year. And so on top of having this company, this business, I also was in grad school at William & Mary getting my MBA.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, once I got my MBA, I actually got more time back. But it's just seeing this phase of life as I have to time block. So I time block time with my spouse. I time block time with my clients. Mm. I time block the smallest amount of time for rest. So that's just the phase that I'm in this point in my life. I feel like I have to grind hard now so I can take advantage of every opportunity that's available to me, so that I can then use those opportunities to rest later. Mm. But not only that, but I can help other people with whatever blessings and benefits that I have, because that's what I'm all about, helping other people.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, man. And, you know, I definitely want to, you know, give you your flowers while you're here. You know, one thing that our podcast is about is people that's doing things outside of their regular 9-to-5. So, you know, what's even more impressive about the effort that you put into this business is I know that you also have a job outside of this, right? So I know that you're in the military, and you've been in the military for quite some time. How much longer do you plan on doing that career before you move on and just start, you know, straight business, you know, and done with that?
Yeah. So, with that one, it's always, and a lot of people ask me like, man, are you still in the military? Did you retire? I really keep the two separate, you know, I keep the two separate because I don't ever want to have a situation where my job is impacted by my personal business.
Right.
Two separate. And to be honest with you, I continue to do my day job as a service member until I no longer like it. I still enjoy leader. I still enjoy what I do every day, and I'm able to handle both. So until I can either not handle both, or until my day job is no longer enjoyable, I'll continue to do it.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I definitely understand that. And, you know, I'm also in the military, as you know. So, you know, you're one of my people that I emulate. You're my, you know, mentor, and just seeing how far you've gone, you know, how far along you've gotten and how quickly you've moved up in your career and still have the time to do your business outside of it is just so impressive to me. So, you know, you'll always be a mentor and somebody that I'm kind of following in footsteps. So you
like
you're my P. Diddy, so to speak.
Likewise, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff. I just want to, you know, to reiterate what Cam said. You know, we are about, you know, highlighting, you know, individuals like yourself, and just giving our flowers, you know, to you while you're able to, you know, to smell them. And so, always been a mentor for me as well. I mean, I'm not in the military, but, you know, shout out to both of you guys. I tell you, you know, all the time, but shout out to both of you. You know, and thank you so much, you know, for your service, you know, day in and day out, but, you know, that's what we're about, you know? And so, you know, just want to say hats off to you for that, because you've always been a mentor for me as well. So we appreciate it wholeheartedly.
Man, I appreciate both of you guys. You know, the biggest thing in life is being able to, take your lessons and pass them on to someone else so they can skip a step.
Right.
That's what I always talk about. If I can help somebody else skip a step. So if you were to ask me, hey, how'd you get to this level? I had to go through a lot of steps.
Right.
So if I can help you skip two or three of those steps, then my mission is accomplished. But one thing I will tell you, though, going back to a previous question, though, is a lot of people don't want to give up leisure things to accomplish their goals. And so I see that a lot. Somebody will come to me and they'll say, Jeff, I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'll say, okay, what are you doing to get there? And they'll say, oh, I'm working hard. I'm grinding. But how much time are you really managing? Right. Because I don't watch. That's just something I give up. I don't know what the latest television craze thing is on TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know that. All I do is focus on learning more things about fitness. If I'm reading books about fitness or I'm working with my clients or I'm spending time with my wife, that's it. I have no other hobby whatsoever. I don't go to the club, none of that. I don't golf. I focus on nothing but getting my mission accomplished. And that's just me. And so that goes back into how driven are you to accomplish a goal, right? And how do you see your time? I see, and that's what I was talking about earlier, gentlemen. I see my time as valuable. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to sit down and just watch TV. I just don't. I know where I want my business to go. I know what I want to do and the reach I want to have with my influence. And I know that that time that I'm sitting there watching TV or BSing somewhere, I could be doing something to advance myself more towards my goal. Right. So I waste time. I don't waste any time, mm-hmm. no time. I don't know what the word bored means. There's always
that's good. Done. No, that's good.
Yeah, I don't. When somebody says I'm bored on one hand, and then they say I want to do big things on the other, I'm like, do you really? Because if that was the case, you'd never be bored. You'd be reading some book about what you want to do. You'd be out trying to get smarter and faster and better at what you want to do.
Right.
You'd be out where actually getting smarter, faster, and better. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be bored. And so that's the thing I would tell people. You have to give up some things to get some things.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you have to take a break every once in a while, let your mind relax and recenter. So I do that too. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you're hungry, so I got a couple of tattoos that you guys can't see, but I love wolves because wolves are always hungry. And that's what I envision myself to be. I'm always a wolf. I'm always hungry. I'm hungry to get after my goals. And once I get that goal, I go after a new one, go after a new one after that and a new one after that. Because I always think to myself, if Puff Daddy can do it, why not me? If Jay-Z can do it, why not me? If Elon Musk can do it, why not me? It all depends on how I want to work to get there. I can watch TV or I can be out there grinding.
Love it. Absolutely. I love that. Now, you know, obviously on a path to success, there's always some failures, or even if you don't call them failures, there's some times where you got to adjust and do different things. So, you know, I know you've done things, other things in the past. You're kind of a serial entrepreneur. You know, some of the things, I'm sure everything that you've done in the past hasn't worked. Do you see those things as failures, and how did they help you get to where you are now? And what advice would you give to people listening who, you know, aren't quite where they are in their endeavors, or, you know, maybe feeling like they're failing right now?
Come on, Cam. That's a lot, man. I win at everything.
Oh yeah. I know.
I'm just joking, fellas. Honestly, I failed a lot. I failed a ton. And I think a lot of times people don't talk about that chapter of the story when they did fail.
Right.
They only talk about when they shine. Right. Mm-hmm. So I've been on multiple levels of the spectrum. I've been at the spectrum where I had to hunt under my car seat for enough money to get a burger from McDonald's. Mm. And I've been on the way opposite side of that spectrum too. But the thing about it is, you know, I failed a lot and I failed early and often. That's the thing you'll hear a lot of mentors and business people say, don't be afraid to fail early and fail often. Right. So if you go 100% in your pursuits, and that doesn't work out, then it's already a failure. You go on to something else. Mm. But if the longer you drag out your ability to go after your goals and you slow walk it, you fail long over time. And that's the time that you
go right.
So for example, I started out with a suit business, right? So I'm a noob, so shout out to the noobs.
Yeah.
So I started out with a suit business. I was like, man, I'm clean, I'm fresh. I'm gonna get me a suit business. I like wearing suits. I like being polished and whatnot. And so I actually went into business with my pastor from my church. And I was like, man, this is going to work like gangbusters, man. We're going to have everybody fly. Sliced bread. This is years ago. We have some mutual friends that have fashion businesses and whatnot.
Yeah.
This is even before these folks were even out of college. And so, you know, I thought that, man, the congregation, they're going to support us. Friends are going to support us. Yeah. Everybody's going to buy these suits. And so we went out, we went hard, we promoted hard. And what do you guys think happened? Nobody bought the suit.
Right.
So it was a good lesson that would pay off later on in the future, mm-hmm. that people are inherently skeptical of young, hungry entrepreneurs. What are you trying to hustle me on? Mm-hmm. JCPenney got that suit for $10 more. So JCPenney is probably where I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you could get it from me for 10 bucks less, you'd rather go give JCPenney that money than to give me that money because it's a known entity.
Yeah,
right.
So initially, for everybody that I tell that's an entrepreneur that's selling something, that's in sales, and especially selling something that they created themselves, you have to really work your core of people to get those people to buy into your product and promote for you.
Right.
The other big piece of that too, that a lot of entrepreneurs get surprised by, is your friends and family will be some of your biggest skeptics.
Oh yeah.
And that's the truth. And you can't allow if your friends and family don't jump on board. So facts, right? I'll give you guys a real life story about my journey. When I became a trainer, I was already expecting for all my friends to be like, man, we know Jeff. Go get training with him. Go work with him. And that's not what I received. I received, well, I know 10 guys that are trainers. My other boy is a trainer. My homegirl is a trainer.
Right.
And so until I proved my concept, people didn't vouch for me.
Yeah.
And I got offended by it at first. I'm like, oh, man, that's my boy. Mm-hmm. That's my homegirl. I would expect for them to share my post. I would expect for them to like my post. I would expect for them to send their out of shape friend to me, mm-hmm. instead of somebody else. But that's not what I got. And so honestly, I built my core following with strangers. People that saw me in the gym, and my proof of principle for them was, man, that guy crushes in the gym.
Right.
I'm gonna go work with him. So I started out working for the YMCA. Always give them credit because they got my career started in fitness. Mm. I started out with the YMCA by basically, and this is my Puff Daddy story. So I basically begged the YMCA to be a group trainer for them because they didn't have any openings. They didn't need me. I had a product I wanted to give them, but they didn't need me. All their slots were filled. So I basically said, hey man, look, I'm hungry, I'm aggressive. I will train people for free. I just want the experience. Mm. So I constantly hit the manager up of the YMCA, like, hey man, please, just you see how I'm getting it. Just let me get a class, man, any class, whatever time frame you want. Just give me a class. Because I believed in myself. I bet on myself. And so finally he was like, hey, listen, man, I can't let you train anybody for free because of how our corporate structure works, but I'll pay you $20 a week, right? Mm. So when people look at where I'm at now and they're like, okay, let me do math, 2 + 2, man, this guy, I didn't start off there.
Yeah.
I didn't start off there. I started off with $20 a week. Mm. And those $20 was only to meet the corporate, process of having me on the payroll.
Right. Had to meet some guidelines, right?
Right, right. But I took that class and I said, I'm going to make this the best damn class in this whole establishment.
Mm.
And I became the highest attended class that they had. Wow. And I was the lowest paid trainer.
Mm.
But some of those people follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, saw that I was offering outside of the gym personal training. And the YMCA couldn't stop me because I wasn't a personal trainer for them.
Right.
I was only a freelance group trainer for them. So some of those folks took a chance on me. And when they took a chance on me, the rest is history.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. And I love that. You know, a lot of, some like big time entrepreneurs often say, you know, sometimes you got to work for free. You can't be afraid to work for free or work for a low wage to get the experience and the training, right? Because even yep. though you're not getting paid so much right now, the experience yep. and the training that you're going to get is going to make you 10 times more than what you would make if you just take that paid gig right now. That's not going to give you as much experience or training or, you know, towards what you're trying to accomplish, right? So exactly. You know, sometimes you gotta bite the bullet and take less to get more later. So it's that kind of like that delayed gratification thing, right?
Yeah. I call it value proposition, right? So mm-hmm. what is the value in what somebody is offering me or what I'm offering them, right?
Right.
So for instance, you know, I didn't grow up in the suburbs, you know, so I still have a hustler's mindset when it comes to everything. So I don't let on to people that I'm a business guy, that I have several businesses. I don't let on to that.
Right.
So when people interact with me, I already know that I have connections that could help them. So if you don't give me the best service possible, you lose that opportunity. That's that opportunity cost.
Yeah.
But you never know who will be the catalyst for the next step in your journey. So when you look at somebody and you say, okay, and I'll be straight as an arrow with you guys. When you start getting into the higher tier people, it's harder and harder to know who is real right. and who is fake. Mm-hmm. You may look at somebody and say, he's wearing a Rolex watch. He must be a millionaire. That may not be true. Mm-hmm. You may look at somebody not wearing any watch and say, he's an average businessman. But that could be the millionaire.
Right,
right, right. Yeah, man. And to, you know, both you guys' point, you know, just the emphasis on, you know, seeing a vision. I think it's about seeing a vision. You know, when you said you bet on yourself and the vision that you saw when you were like, hey, I just want the experience, because you saw beyond that. Right. You know what I mean? So that's what I took from that as well. So but we see that you are doing a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
And just want to talk about, can you tell us a little bit about some of the charity work that you're doing and some of the ways that you're giving back?
Yeah, there's a quote that I kind of live by, and this is something that, you know, is near and dear to my heart. The best form of giving is anonymous to anonymous. And so what that mm-hmm. means is they don't know me, I don't know them, but I know that I'm passionate about helping other people. So I do a lot of my charity work behind the scenes. It's not something I look to get credit for, or that I look to get props for per se. I do it a return on investment that my God has invested resources and blessings upon me. Those are not for me to keep alone. So I make sure I give those back out just as much as I am in. And so
that's good.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's one thing that I will talk about, because it's kind of something that I did put out there. So I do a lot of work with families that are in situations that I may have been in or I may have experienced, you know? And so recently for the holidays, my mother, hardworking lady, my father, hardworking man, would always put our things on layaway so that they could be there by the time they got the money up for them, they would be there, you know, still there available. So that, you know, by the time they got the money for the Christmas gifts, they wouldn't be all gone.
Oh yeah.
And so my parents would put things on layaway, but nobody would come through and say, hey, here's a couple $100 to help you out with that, you know? So knowing that there's a lot of families, especially this year, that have had one whole income cut, lost right. Half of their family's income. I know that a lot of these folks that have things on layaway are just trying to get up that money, that extra scratch to pay for those toys for their kids, because I have a child on the way. No parent wants to show up on Christmas Day without that Barbie house, without that Power Wheel. They don't want to show up without something to make their kid feel the joy of Christmas. So something I'm passionate about is as I receive more blessings in life, I give those out, and I've been paying off layaways for about 7 years now. And that's one thing that I publicly talk about, because a lot of people have taken that one act and they've ran with it. So I've had multiple mm-hmm. people come back to me and say, hey man, how'd you go about doing that? And I told them how I did it. And immediately they went out the next day and they went and did it too in the area where. And so a lot of people were like, you know, hey man, I don't understand why people need to post about stuff and just try to get some shine for it. But you know, I had to chew on that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. This kind of goes back to things that I'm interested in as well. A lot of times people give politicians, public leaders, pastors, all those people, those public figures, they give them a hard time because those people don't spend the time to rattle off all the things that they're doing. You only right. hear about some of the things that they're doing, and you may say, man, what is this person doing with this money? What is this public official doing with that money? They don't understand all the things that go into it. So they say, they're not doing anything. So me as a business owner, I do want my clients and my future clients to know that I'm not just some guy that's Daddy Warbucks back here thinking, oh man, I got the dollars. I give my blessing, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people sing my praises and my business's praises because they know I won't. Mm-hmm. And so the same way I paid off those leeways, I did a whole bunch of things for schools too. And coming up for Christmas, I'm trying to do a whole lot of things for the homeless community in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm always looking at, and that's only a few things. So I'm always looking at things that I can do to basically honor God and the fact that he's chosen me to bless.
Yeah,
that's good, man. It's a blessing to be a blessing. You know what I'm saying? And
for sure.
I can definitely, you know, say hats off to you for that, because, you know, we see that you're planting the seed, not necessarily for recognition, but literally just to continue to spread love. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you mentioned that you and your wife are expecting, man. So congratulations blessings to you,
you.
For sure. Yeah. You and the missus, man, you know, as y'all, you know, begin to welcome a new life. Into this world. So
appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm glad that you hit on that, because you said something that really, that I think is going to stick with me for real, because you know, you don't really think about it this way, but the psychology of people is right. Some people are going to think that, oh, you're just trying to get shine, but some people see what you're doing and then they want to do it too.
Right.
So it's good to put it on display, because somebody might say, you know what, I wanted to give this season, but I didn't know how to do it. And then when they see that, they can say, oh, you know what, I can do that in my local store, in my local Walmart or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. So it's good to display it for those reasons. And also, it's kind of like the thing where people were doing this at Starbucks at one point, where somebody would pay it for it, right? So somebody would pay for the person's drink behind them, and then everybody started paying for the person's drink behind them, right? I think it's the same kind of thing. So it's not a bad thing to show what you're doing, because it may inspire somebody else to do the same thing or do something similar or more.
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll hop in on that, guys. I got the benefit to be a part of an organization of mentors. And the premise behind that was, you can't be what you can't see. And yeah. I really took that phrase to heart. Like, for me, I joined the military because my middle brother and my older brother joined the military. It was what I saw. And this is kind of like American gangster kind of concept here, when Denzel... while his brother's kind of following his footsteps, I followed his brother's footsteps. So if my brothers would have been doctors, I may be a doctor. If they were lawyers, I may be a lawyer. I only aspired to be what I saw. And so as I branch out in the different things in the world, I try to share my experiences with all of my people that I mentor, because I want them to see different things. I want them to see the challenges that I have in my business. I want them to see that I did the right steps in my business, that I got my patents, that I got my LLC, that I got lawyers that I consult in. I want to show them all the things that I can kind of help them with. And anything that I learned from my business mentors, I also want to share that with them as well. So the whole concept of giving and philanthropy and whatnot, you have to see somebody do it sometimes so you can see that it's something that you can do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure.
That's good, man.
It's kind of a more fun question, Spoon. Now, I know every time I see you, it seems like you got a new whip. So tell us, tell us about the whips, yo. I think you had a BMW at some point. You know, I think you got a vet now. Or last time I saw you had a vet, you had a Porsche.
I remember the Porsche.
Tell us about the whips. What you driving now? What do you have? What are you trying to get next?
You know. So everybody is. Everybody has their things that they're into, right? And what they do with money and whatnot. And my passion is cars, you know. But let me tell you guys something. This is a good, fun topic, but it's something that I want to drop on you as entrepreneurs and young hustlers, right? Mm-hmm. When you're an entrepreneur, you have to be mindful of your image, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you saw Jeff Bezos driving around in a Bugatti that cost $7 million, you'd be like, okay, that's just Jeff Bezos. I'm still going to patronize Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I have if I pull up in a Lamborghini, some people will say, oh, he's got his money. I don't need to give him any more money. I'm going to help this other guy out that's a new up and coming struggling trainer.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money.
Right.
I learned that lesson when I was a realtor. So I like Cam said, I've had a whole bunch of hustles. Mm. And so I used to be, I'm still licensed, but when I started out my real estate career, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go for the high dollar, baby. I wanna be like the TV agent. So I wanna get the big dollars.
Yeah.
So I went out, I took my money that was non-real estate related. I took my money, I went out and bought me a Porsche Panamera. I think Cam might have saw me with that, the four-door Porsche.
Yeah.
And this is at the time when NBA players had the four-door Porsche and it was the popular car. Mm-hmm. It was the panel. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to get the four-door Porsche. I'm going to get the top clients. I'm going to be in there. And Cam is also a real estate agent. So I get the Porsche and I go for my clients. The luxury clients are pretty few and far in between, and normally don't use brand new agents.
Yep.
So I had the average person. The average person can't afford a Panamera. Mm-hmm. So that average person would say, man, this guy is just trying to rob me of my money. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about my home sold. All he cares about is putting money in his pocket.
Right.
Wasn't even the case. I love real estate. I love helping people out with their house. Mm. I just got that car because I thought that it would give me the impression of success, that it would make me look successful.
Right.
So now, as an entrepreneur, I'm very mindful of when I display my success because people will say, that guy doesn't need it. Even though this guy has worked his butt off for years and years and years and years and years to get to the level, they will say, well, this guy over here is just getting started. He needs clients more than that guy needs clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I never want to lose clients. I never want to lose my acquisitions of my clients because people think I don't need it. So I drive a Nissan Frontier, what I drive right now.
Okay. All right. So you definitely changed it up.
I drive a Nissan Frontier, man, proudly. I drive a Nissan with no rims. It's a white meter made truck.
All right, man. I get it. Well, that's good stuff right there. And I think I'm gonna probably do the same thing because right now, Jeff, I drive an Audi and it's an A4. It's not even a big boy, but sometimes people look at it and like, oh, you're driving an Audi, like I acting like I got money, and I'm like, nah, it ain't. It's just the A4. It ain't cost that much, you know.
But you know, like I was saying before, guys. I mean, as I've been exposed to different mentors, you know, and I've been doing different deals. I got a deal coming up with a former Hornets player and whatnot. And so, when you're around people that have a lot of money, like the M's, a lot of M's, you learn that the higher people go in the ladder of success, the less they need to show you how much money they have. And so that's why I told you, it's like there's certain levels to the game, and the higher you go, the harder it is to see just how successful somebody really is. Right. They don't show you. Yeah. They don't show you with the Audemars, Audemars Piguet, the AP, the
they don't need to.
Right.
If you watch any documentary on Bill Gates, he wears Levi's jeans and Nikes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see the Gucci flip flops. You don't see none of that. you don't see Papa Gotti. He's in a Cadillac Escalade.
Yeah.
But $100 billion.
Yeah.
You know. So the higher you get on that level, not to say that liking nice things is wrong, because I like nice things. Don't get me wrong. I like nice things. I love wearing suits. I like dressing up. I like being polished. But like I said, as you get higher in the levels, you won't just be able to look at somebody and say, oh, you got the money.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
That's good, man. So we're gonna do a little segment to kind of get everything wrapped up, and it should be cool. So we call this the Fab Five segment, where we're going to just shoot off five quick questions for you. Just something, you know what I'm saying, fun, and just to, you know, let our listeners know just a little bit more about you. So Cam, if you want to start it off, man, you can.
Absolutely. So Spoon, what was the... Oh, that's your number? Oh, yeah. You both of y'all. Greg, five, too. Yeah, five. Five Club.
Don't hate, bro. Don't hate.
Five Club. Yeah, man. Hey, all right. First question. What was the last song you listened to?
I can't name it, but I just got done listening to that new Kid Cudi album. So,
oh, that's okay. Good, man.
So I don't know the names of his new songs, but I was bumping his album as of late.
Okay. That was up. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I wanted to listen to it at first. Cause I'm kind of personally I'm kind of iffy on Kid Cudi, but I started listening to it and this album sounded pretty good, so he did his thing on this one.
Yeah, I'm a Cudi fan.
It's a vibe, man. Yeah, I definitely started getting into it myself. So, next question number two: what book are you currently reading?
So it's a weird book. I can't tell you the author because I just got it, but it's called How Not to Die. And so it talks about different holistic things that you can do to keep your body healthy. Because like I said, guys, that's all I focus on. I'm not reading a book about anything else besides health and fitness. Okay. So it just talks about ways to keep your blood pressure in order, your cholesterol, different things like that, different natural things you can eat, how to prevent and cure diseases, how to keep your brain sharp, different things you can eat that provide different vitamins and things of that nature. So it's like How Not to Die.
Okay. Dope. All right. Third question. What's your favorite cheat meal?
My favorite cheat meal varies, man. I'm a rice guy. So I love rice.
Okay.
So I'll go from Thai food and tear up some Thai food. And then my next go-to is Five Guys hamburgers, man. I'll tear up some Five Guys because they give you more fries than most people.
Oh, yeah.
Most people give you a little bag of fries. Five Guys gives you a whole bag of fries. So what I'll do is I line up either my leg day or my chest day with my cheat meal. I go into Five Guys, scarf down a whole burger, double patty, the whole bag of fries, and I go in the gym get my Phil Heath on.
Okay.
Hey, I like it, man. Shout out to Five Guys, man, for real, because I literally just had that over the weekend. So
no doubt, and
for the same reason, you got to get the Cajun fries too.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get the Cajun.
Got to do the Cajun.
That's Five Club action right now.
You already know what time it is. But question four, okay. So, and we know you are a football guy, man. Shout out to the Citadel. You know what I'm saying? We know, you know what I'm saying, had played football back in the day. But right now, would you consider watching NCAA or NFL?
Honestly, man, this kind of goes back to earlier, man. I don't watch any, but if I were to pick on which one I would watch, it would be NFL. I think I like just the strategy when it comes to that level of play that all the players have to be on. They have to be on their highest level of performance at all times.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So with the college game, there's a different level of mistakes that you can make. You have a coach that's making sure you work out. With the NFL, they have to hire their own coaches. They have to hire their own conditioning guys. So when you come to the field, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to perform at the highest level. So I'll take NFL over NCAA.
That's a good point, man. Right. I like it.
Dope. All right, question number five. I know you're a fly noob, so sneakers or dress shoes?
I would have to say, because of what my normal attire is these days, it would have to be sneakers. Okay. Because being a noob, a proud noob that is, I can make flops look fly, baby. It don't matter.
All right, word. Already. Yeah. That's what's up. I thought for sure you would say dress shoes, but no, I get it. I get it. You in sneakers all day, every day.
I should have bet Cam on that one, man.
That's right.
Hey, but
for sure.
Hey, but man, yeah, we just wanted to do that, you know, little quick segment, man. Do something a little fun, you know what I mean? Just to kind of, you know, break the monotony, you know what I'm saying? So we just want to take this time to just thank you, Jeff, man. Like, you dropped hella gems today, bro. And I mean, I took some stuff that I'm gonna take back for myself, but just for the listeners as well, you know what I'm saying? Is there any final gem that you want to provide for anyone that's out there, or any new entrepreneur, or, you know, whatever that might be, you know, on your heart, or something that you just want to leave with everybody and leave with us?
Yeah, the final gem is very simple, guys, and that is, if you're gonna half-ass something, don't do it. Don't do it. Give 100% to everything you do. When you guys asked me to be on this interview, I came ready to give you 100%. I'm not watching my watch. I don't have on one. I'm not watching the clock. I'm not looking at where I need to be next. I'm not thinking about what I'm having for dinner. I'm 100% focused on giving you guys an absolute 100% of my focus and my time, because I know there's an opportunity in this. I don't take any opportunity for granted.
Yeah.
Two people could see this podcast that could have a following of 100,000 people.
Right.
That person trained with me. I give them amazing results. Now I just increased my client load by 20,000.
Right.
I don't take any opportunity for granted, because I don't take anybody for granted. Mm. And that's the biggest thing I will tell you. Don't take any opportunity for granted. Don't take any person for granted, because that person you may think may not have any connect to getting you to the next level in your journey towards success could be the key player that could skip you 10 steps ahead of what would have taken you longer to get to where you want to be.
Man, boom. That's drop good mic, stuff, bro. Man. Drop the mic.
Drop mic, bro.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So in closing, gentlemen, I will definitely say, I'll give you your flowers as well. You have to be teachable, right? If both of you gentlemen are teachable. I've dealt with other people who are confident in themselves, but they're so confident, they're not teachable.
Mm.
And I don't look at anybody as, I don't need them. I burn as bridges as I absolutely possibly can.
Right.
If I burn a bridge with you, you really push me really freaking hard.
Yeah. Right.
And you guys have been teachable for everything you've come to me on.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to me, you want me to do the podcast, whatever you come to me on, you're teachable. A lot of people are so arrogant. They can't, they don't want to learn from other people because they think they know everything.
Right.
If somebody came to me that had less clients than I have, that have been doing this less than I have, and said, hey, man, I noticed something. I noticed that you put your before picture on the left instead of the right. And the way most people are looking today, they want it on the bottom and the top.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tip that could change the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm like, look at this chunk. Man, you don't know nothing, man. You're not doing it like I'm doing it, baby. I'm not teachable.
Yeah.
And so both of you are very teachable, and that's why you're going to be successful, because you want to learn from people that want to pour into you.
Absolutely.
And entrepreneurs, especially successful ones, we don't like wasting our time.
Mm-hmm.
If you waste my time, I may be nice to you because I love you, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to guys that have long tenure with me, like the both of you, I'd be nice about certain things. But when it comes to a new person that's asking for my time, if you mess up that opportunity, you're done.
Yeah.
Because right. I can move on. My time is money, and you're wasting my money and my time. So if you set up something with me, I expect for you to give 100%, to bring 100%, to do 100%, to impress me, because I may be ready and willing to skip you those 10 steps.
Word.
That's good, man.
Man, that's good. I appreciate that, Jeff. Hey, and I appreciate you. Appreciate all the gems you dropped. Appreciate you coming on the podcast for sure. And absolutely love this interview. And I know you're busy, so we certainly appreciate your time and you spending this hour with us, man. So, man, thank you.
Yeah. And shout out to, just want to reiterate, man, the E2M personal trainer. That's Jeff's Facebook, and then E2M Fitness on IG, and also Mr. Queen City as well on IG as well, man. So just to jump on that, man, thank you, you know, so much for blessing us, blessing our listeners, and we appreciate you. We mean that.
Hey, no problem, gentlemen. Life is all about returning the blessings that have been given to you. And so with every blessing I receive, I look for a way to give it to somebody else. So I thank you guys for having me be one of your earlier guests in your podcast journey.
Michelle.
Because as you guys ascend to the highest ranks, I'll get to look back and say I was one of the OGs.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
The original. And hey, we appreciate you. And with that being said, we're going to wrap it up. So again, you guys, thank you for joining us. You have listened to the City of Savages podcast. Again, I'm your host, Cam.
And it's your boy, Greg, man.
Hey, you listen to Jeff Witherspoon, E2M Fitness. Thank you, Jeff, again. Thank you guys for listening. And we out. Peace.